This is the Veterans Affairs Committee meeting for March 9th, 2022.
Well, they're just gonna have to wait.
Okay, Bruce, you can start. Bruce, you can begin.
Thank you. Delma, do we need to read that statement anymore?
Yes, you still do.
We still read it, okay. So, due to the impact of COVID-19 pandemic, which has prompted declarations of the public health emergency at the local, state, and federal levels, this meeting will be conducted using measures to protect public health. This meeting will be held remotely through technological means as permitted under Arizona law. In-person attendance by members of the public will be prohibited. Live stream of the meeting will be broadcast so that members of the public may view and listen to the meeting online at this location. So at this time, if I could have a call to order and establish a quorum, please.
Steve Aguri. Steve Aguri. Martin Weldon.
Here.
Nate Brasenio. Nate Brasenio. Harry Bakira.
Present.
Bruce Hamilton. Bruce.
Present.
Henry Johnson.
Present.
Present.
I have Rosario as being absent. Mark Levine. Mark Levine. James Lewis.
I am present.
Melvin Morgan.
Present.
Marlon Ruiz. Marlon Ruiz. Carol Rendell is present. Michael St. Ords.
I'm present.
I have William Wojciechowski absent. Luke Johnson. Luke Johnson.
This is Cliff Baser. I'll be filling in for Luke Johnson. I'm the Public Affairs Officer in Southern Arizona PA Healthcare System.
Thank you, sir. Jesse Allen.
She won't be joining tonight. She's traveling.
I do see it. There are 8 names and should be a quorum. Bruce.
Okay, so it is a quorum.
Yes.
Right. Item number 2, invocation. I didn't know. No, Henry was there or not. Henry, are you there for the invocation, sir?
Yes, I am. Oh, Heavenly Father, we gather today to represent the veterans organizations of the city of Tucson. Help us in our deliberation and let us spread the word to have other veterans organizations join us. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.
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 Item number 3, introduction of guests. Director Jukowski, is she here this evening?
Jennifer? Hi, good evening. I'm here this evening and I'm joined by Cliff Baser as he introduced himself as well. Good to see everyone.
Hello.
Hi, thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 4. This is where we feel the pain when we get to do our vote here. Should go quicker this evening. Let's go ahead and do approval of the legal action report on February 9th, if anybody wants to make any comments in reference to that. If not, if I could get a motion to accept the legal action
Mark
report.
Mark Felton and I make a motion to accept the legal action report.
Bruce Moore, second it.
Those in favor?
Martin Belden.
Go ahead and make your roll call.
Yes.
Dave Pozzenio? Oh, that's right, he's not here, sorry. Terry Byron?
Yes.
Bruce Hamilton? Bruce?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Mark Levine is not here, I'm sorry. Jesse Lewis, I mean James Lewis, I'm sorry, I apologize.
Yes.
Elvin Morgan? Elvin?
Yes.
Thank you. Carol Riddell says yes. Michael St. Ords?
Yes.
Passes all the yeas.
Of course, it passes. Thank you. Move on to item number 5 on the treasurer's report. Martin, if you want to do your report.
Okay, I messed up on the report. We actually have $5,453.36 in the nobody already fixed it. We had no income, we had no expenses, so that was our start and our end balance. I had last month's start balance on there. Yeah, sorry about that. It hasn't changed. We haven't had any money come in, we haven't had any expenses so far this year, so that's where we're at. Any questions?
What was that balance? Carol Rendell.
$5,453.36.
Okay, so that is correct then.
Yeah, the balance is correct. The starting balance is wrong.
What was the starting balance?
I just caught that. I'll send out a corrected, send us a meeting order.
Thank you.
So, if there's no questions, if I could get a motion in accepting your treasurer's report.
I make a motion we accept the treasury report as read.
Is Henry?
Henry Johnson.
Get a second.
Rich Morgan, second it.
All in
Martin,
favor?
Martin Bellwood?
Yes.
Terry Byron. Terry?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay. Bruce Hamilton?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
James Lewis?
Yes.
Elvin Morgan?
Yes.
Everybody else says yes. Michael St. Orts?
Yes.
All are in favor, sir.
Motion passes. Thank you very much, Carol. Appreciate that. We got over the pain, so let's move on to item number 6. We'll move on to our committee reports. Director, if you want to go ahead with the Sally Hicks report, go right ahead. And I know you want to do something in reference to your, but I think we have that down as item number 7, your asset and infrastructure review. So. Do you want to go ahead with the Sally report, ma'am?
Yeah, just for the committee report, I'll just share with you, I think the stakeholder report was sent your way, and I do want to do a nice introduction of Cliff Baser. You guys remember Stan Holmes, our public affairs officer, moved on to a network position, and we're very excited to have Cliff step up into the role of public affairs officer, and so welcome, Cliff, and he's joining me here tonight. I also welcome to our team, Maria Wen. She's been our interim associate director coming in from Loma Linda, and we have selected her as a permanent associate director for our facility, so we're very excited to announce that. And then I'll defer the rest of my report to my presentation on item 7. Thank you so much.
No problem. So I can move on to item number B, Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery. Do we have anyone that can bring any numbers from there?
Bruce, I don't have any numbers, but Nicole wanted me to remind everyone about the Missing in America project scheduled for the 23rd of next month.
And then Bruce, I have some numbers.
Okay. But if you can get a flyer for that, Tommy, and send it to Delma to shoot out to everybody.
I sure will.
In reference to that missing up in America, is there a flyer or just even an email if you want to send it, we can blast it out.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. Go ahead, Terry, if you have an update for the cemetery, go right ahead.
So this is from January. There are 712 veterans and dependents interred in 2021, 3,228 interred veterans and spouses. So far, our total, I guess.
Good.
So
that's again January.
712 would have been.
And those were January numbers?
In 2021, 3,228 were total. And that, yeah, that was from the January report.
Got it. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else have any comments in reference to?
I have a question, Terry.
If not, we'll move on to the Tubby. Tubby, you got anything for the Arizona Department of Veterans Service?
I have a question,
yes, sir.
Bruce.
We continue to assist veterans during the pandemic. Last month, we had direct services of 17,416. A direct service is any type of communication with the public to where we provide a service to them. That could be via email, an appointment, or outreach. There were 187 claims submitted. That could be anything from compensation, pension, burial, just a variety of different claims. Since the pandemic, we closed our offices, as everyone knows, but we now have 8 itinerant sites throughout the state, from the southern, northern, and central regions. And since our last meeting, we've hired 4 additional benefit counselors that will be joining the team and providing the same type of quality service to Arizona veterans. Does anyone have any questions?
Are you talking about down here in southern Arizona, you hired 4?
4 within the state.
Or,
I haven't hired 2 additional.
I got you.
Just last week, they started on Monday.
Gotcha. Good deal.
And are you meeting at the vet center? Are you meeting with people at the vet center?
That is going to be one of the designations, yes, ma'am.
Is that the vet center there with Keith Hamlin right there on Broadway?
On Broadway, yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm also ready to say that we're looking forward to being a part of the stand down next week.
Yeah, hey, and I will stick you in one of those curtain areas. You wanted some privacy as far as if you were going to do some interviews with some folks, so I put you in one of the curtained areas, so you should have some privacy there this year. So
thank you kindly for that. Yeah,
I'll give you an update on numbers, folks. Are you hearing me? Is everybody hearing me okay?
Yeah, it's kind of muffled, sir.
Anybody have any questions? You're not hearing me?
I can hear you, but it was kind of muffled.
Not sure. How about everybody else? Jennifer, am I coming across okay or no?
I think, like he said, sometimes it's a little muffled. I heard you then clearly, but occasionally you were fading out. But you sound clear, just what you just said.
It's like your internet's a little slow.
I get accused of talking too loud.
Does anyone have any questions for me? Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. All right. Well, Jennifer, we're on item number 7. I know you're excited.
I am, actually.
Go right ahead, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to present here. I'm going to, if I may, bring up my screen and share with you my slides. Delma, I'm not able to send them to you because they are not to be released to the general public. So let me see if I can get this down. Let's see. Slideshow. All right. Getting good at this Teams thing. What I want to talk to you about tonight is the asset and infrastructure review. And you're probably wondering, what is she talking about? So let me just give a little background information before I go into the presentation. Under the Mission Act of 2018, The president was authorized to appoint an Asset and Infrastructure Review Commission to study the current and future healthcare needs of veterans and evaluate the VA's healthcare infrastructure to ensure that VA is ready and able to continue to provide world-class access and outcomes for our veterans. And to inform this group's work, VA officials were given 3 years to perform regional medical assessments across the country to determine areas where there are medical facility shortages or challenges. And the market assessment recommendations for each market in the country will be released to the public on March 14th. What we're going to see tonight is a sneak preview. The Air Commission is a bipartisan, presidentially appointed, and congressionally approved commission, and they will review VA's recommendations and determine if they will be accepted. And then throughout 2022, the commission will hold public hearings, visit VA facilities, meet with partners, and listen to veterans. And then the recommendations with any changes made by the Air Commission will then be provided to the president and then to Congress for approval in 2023. So that gives you a little background, and I'm very grateful that Secretary McDonough really believes in transparency and giving us the opportunity. I was able to share this with my staff and also able to share this with all of you in advance of the general public release and the release to the Federal Register and to the Air Commission. So with that, here's the agenda, what we're going to cover today. So again, just talking a little bit about the air process. Let's just jump right into it. So I think one of the key notes is that the VA recognizes that even though this process is looking at infrastructure, the VA recognizes its number one asset is its VA workforce. And it's certainly clear to me by this presentation that the VA is here to stay. But certainly there's been national challenges overcome. We're not any of these pictures in the PowerPoint here, but as many of you know, our facility was founded in 1928, so we do have some good vintage buildings. And to that point, VA overall across the nation are having some aged infrastructure issues. And certainly medicine has changed a lot since 1928, 1940s, and we really need to invest in those changes and into the system so that, again, we can provide the best state of art care to our veterans, to you. So how will we continue to be a leader in healthcare? And this picture here, you may not be able to see it, but at the center of it is the VA Medical Center. And again, I think that's key because what it depicts here is that the VA will be at the center, and we're gonna be doing partnering with community medical centers, you know, community health like we are now, federally qualified health centers, DOD, our local affiliation, but it's really about being a high-performing network. And I think many of you have heard me say this before, I really believe the VA can't do it all for everyone, and that's why community partnerships are so key. And so our path forward, so within the next few weeks, VA will be making the recommendations public by publishing the recommendations in the Federal Register, as I mentioned, on March 14th, and this will coincide with the transmittal of these recommendations to the Asset and Infrastructure Review Commission. If you ask me who's on the commission, I understand the president has started to come forward with names, and it still needs to go to the Senate for confirmation, so I don't know all that information about who will be on that commission. That's something that will be unfolding as we move ahead. But these recommendations represent a culmination of 4 years of work, and the Air Commission will review these recommendations and, again, discuss them with the public and then present them to the president with any changes and to Congress. So in the near term, these recommendations will have no major impacts because they're really just recommendations at this point. So a little bit about how these recommendations were developed. Extensive data analysis. The VA contracted with a group to help us through this. There was comprehensive data analysis, lots of vetting through different levels, the VISN, us at the facility, central office, OIG, GAO, OMB, as well as what's referred to as a red team, which was comprised of current and former healthcare leaders from DOD, Health and Human Services, Mayo Clinic, and two former secretaries of the VA. And there are criteria that were met for all recommendations, and these criteria went through a extensive vetting process as well. And in addition to what you see here, demand, access, impact on mission, quality, cost effectiveness, and sustainability, there are many, many sub criteria developed below those topics. So just to let you know, a lot went into the development for these recommendations and these criteria. So things to know about these recommendations. Again, I'm very pleased to share that Secretary McDonough has given us the ability to share these confidential recommendations with you before they're made public. And this is his extension of his commitment for transparency. And I really appreciate that. Particularly, I think that our relationships are important. And again, just as a last note, before we go into the recommendations, again, it's meant to be kept confidential as we move forward until they're officially released. So some key points. You, our veterans, will always be at the center of what we do. And I really appreciate that the VA is recognizing that also our staff are our number one asset for what we do, and they'll continue to invest. And this is really a great opportunity, and I think I'm very pleased with how these recommendations actually support what we're already planning here at Southern Arizona VA. So I'm very pleased with the information that I'm about to share with you. So let's go into that confidential preview of what will be submitted to the Air Commission specifically for our market here in the Southern Arizona area. So here we go. So this is a current map of our market with the current locations identified. So we have our main Tucson Medical Center campus, 7 community outpatient clinics. We have our two urban ones, Northwest and Southeast. We have Casa Grande, Safford, Sierra Vista, Green Valley, and Yuma. And we also have 2 rural healthcare centers, one that's near Casa Grande and one that's near Sierra Vista. Now, when I first saw this slide, I got a little nervous that I didn't see Casa Grande, you know, shaded. And I was asking, you know, why is that? And it was explained to me that Casa Grande, because it's in Pinal County, that's technically considered Phoenix catchment area, but there is no recommendation to realign that clinic to the Phoenix healthcare system. Casa Grande will remain in alignment with the Southern Arizona VA healthcare system. So a little bit more about our current state. So we serve generally an urban population with 23.7% of our enrollees classified as rural or highly rural, which is actually down from 25% in fiscal year 18. And for those of us that live here, have certainly seen that urban sprawl happening throughout our Southern Arizona area. Our growth is projected to remain relatively stable with a modest increase of enrollment for 0.7% projected through fiscal year 29. I will share with you that I'm very pleased that our market penetration is very high, 73% in fiscal year 21, and that's projected to increase steadily as we go forward in the years ahead. Now, in talking about some of our facility overview, the demand in the market for our acute inpatient medical and surgical services is projected to decrease by 17.1%, and demand for inpatient mental health services is projected to decrease by 4.1% between fiscal year 19 and 29. Demand for long-term care is projected to increase by 9.3%. And demand for all outpatient services, primary care, mental health, specialty care, dental, rehabilitation therapies are projected to increase, as well as virtual modalities and care provided in the home. I also will mention that the trend of decreasing demand for inpatient medical and surgical and inpatient mental health is not uncommon from what is seen from across the country, from what I understand. It really also demonstrates the shift from inpatient care to outpatient care and in the home care. Our market is good in terms of providing care closer to our veterans, mainly due to most of our enrollees living in urban areas, and also good strategic placement of our clinics. We have 92.8% of our enrollees living within a 30-minute drive time of a VA primary care site, and 71.4% within a 60-minute drive time of a VA secondary care site. and this exceeds national averages on both metrics. So in other words, our clinics are placed well and accessible to all of you, our veterans. So let's get down to our future state and what the recommendations are. So our market plan recommendations are to construct a inpatient bed tower, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. So again, this recommendation really coincides with what we've already been planning from a strategic standpoint that we would like to see on our campus. So we are planning a four-story inpatient tower to provide a one-to-one replacement of all acute and critical care units. So it would be 105 single bedrooms. Approximately 125,000 square feet of new construction and 11,000 square feet of renovation to building 38. Relocate inpatient pharmacy, inpatient imaging functions, and nutrition and food services kitchen to the first floor. New elevator tower, lobby, police office. Now our first two phases are 100% designed, and the construction funding for phase one is pending approval. I just pray as director that maybe one day we can have it all done in less than as many phases as we're planning right now, but sometimes that's the way that VA planning and projects go. But I'm very pleased that we are in alignment with what the recommendations are for replacement inpatient med-surg bed tower. We also want to modernize our community living center beds and modernize our residential rehab transitional beds. That's our transition program. And when we really say modernize, we want to talk about really just redoing the facility and also providing single rooms. We also, as you can see, we have recommendations to expand services at our CBOCs. And certainly we want to expand at the Yuma CBOC, which is also in planning process for us. For Sierra Vista, the plan is to expand there as well. And to, as you can see down below, deactivate or divest the site of the Rural Healthcare Center. Our plan is to actually take that Rural Healthcare Center and merge it into the Sierra Vista CBOC when we do planning for the new site. Our Casa Grande CBOC, that's also on the list for expansion. In the recommendations officially, it does not recommend folding in our Rural Healthcare Center, but we are planning on doing that locally from a strategic standpoint and enlarging the services and the footprint of our Casa Grande CBOC. And we also plan to expand Southeast Tucson CBOC. Northwest is not on the list because we just did provide a great expansion for that footprint. So we're very pleased that we were able to open that facility. You don't also see Green Valley or Safford, and let me talk a little bit about that. Safford is not does not have any recommendations from the commission, and from the recommendations, and we locally don't have any recommendations for Safford. For Green Valley, there is no recommendations officially, but again, from the local perspective, we hope to replace the existing Green Valley. Oh, I think I see here an open mic. Thank you. For Green Valley, we are hoping locally to replace the existing Green Valley CBOC in the next several years when that lease becomes expired. But again, that's not part of the formal recommendations coming forward. Some of our complementary strategies is enhancing our physical medicine services. And I'm pleased to share with you that we actually have in design a new prosthetics and rehabilitation building, which will be a two-story, 25,000 square foot building. And that's in the early stages of design. It also calls for modernizing and expanding the emergency department, which we currently have a project that's being designed to expand our emergency department by 8,000 square feet, which will construct a new triage area, some treatment rooms, and an imaging suite to include CT and X-ray, and really help us to renovate the existing emergency department. And again, that design is in process. And for modernizing our inpatient mental health beds, we do have a construction progress in place right now that is targeted completion in June of 2022. That's going to help us install the over-the-door alarms, new interior finishes, and improve a number of safety features. So here's our future state map for Tucson. And it shows graphically that we plan expansion of our CBOCs, and we show that the clinics remain generally in the same locations, although they will likely need to move to accommodate the larger footprint that we are planning for many of them. So how does this benefit you, our veterans? So certainly this will help us provide more care accessible to veterans, help us to really modernize our facilities, which is a key piece for us here in Southern Arizona, and to continue to provide you the best care anywhere. So just to summarize the next steps, again, we have our year of review by the Air Commission ahead of us. The recommendations are just that until they're approved. The VA will begin strategically prioritizing the national list of opportunities during this period of review and then perform detailed planning of the recommendations that are approved thereafter. Some of the major infrastructure changes remain years away, but some of the minor changes, as I mentioned, some of the moves of clinics that are coming up due to lease expiration very well may happen sooner. And so I'm committed to keeping you all informed of this process and how it continues. And again, this emphasizes Secretary McDonough's pledge of transparency, and really appreciate the opportunity to share with all of you tonight the recommendations. Let me pause there and see if there's any questions, and I'll stop my presentation.
This is Tubby Lewis. I would just like to thank you for sharing that information with us, and it's very promising. And as a veteran myself, I look forward to taking advantage of some of those facilities once they are available.
Thank you.
I certainly like the forward thinking of that, you know, that long look out there, like you're saying, within that time period, Pinal County's going to increase. And it's good that you're looking at it now, because you can make those changes and be ahead of that change when it does happen for you. At least be ready for it, let's say that. Be ready for it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that.
What would cause the increase so high in Pinal? Is it because there's veterans that are not being reached now, or do they see more veterans going to be in Pinal over that period of time? What makes that increase in 20-something percent?
I'm not sure what you're referencing, the 20-something percent for Pinal, but there is a increase for the Phoenix.
Did it say something like within a, it says something in reference to Pinal County or something increasing in usage, not usage, but I mean the increase of veterans or something, 20, I thought it was 20-something percent in that, in those years.
Yeah, you might have that. I do know.
Casa Grande?
Yeah, I do know that there's quite a projection for growing, you know, not only in that area, but overall Pinal County, and particularly in that southern Phoenix market. And, you know, I can't speak too much about, of course, the confidential recommendations for my neighbors up to the north of me. But what I can share with you is that the Phoenix director, the Northern Arizona director, and myself are really committed to continuing to work together as we look at patterns, travel patterns, referral patterns of our veterans, to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to provide the care where the veterans would like to see that. And so one of the questions that was asked to me also was about Yuma and looking at any referral patterns over to our colleagues over there in San Diego, because there are some veterans that travel that way. But yeah, I don't know what to attest the great increase to that particular area for growth, but I do think that more and more, as these areas, these rural areas are just becoming more and more of urban areas, and we're seeing that growth in the Casa Grande, a lot of building, and we see that here in, you know, Tucson, and of course north of Marana, and even further out, and then out east. So there's definitely a lot of urban sprawl happening, and people are moving to Arizona.
Any other questions, anyone? Yeah. Thank you, Jennifer. That was really good. I appreciate that. We'll move on to item number 8, the military lounge. I'm not sure if the folks from the Tucson Airport are here. Terry, anyone?
So, Bruce, no, they're traveling, so they apologized in advance they wouldn't be available. But I'm not sure when we review new members, isn't that towards the beginning of the meeting? New members? So Jesse has submitted a letter for us to review. So she plans on sitting on the committee.
I think that's already gone through. I think I've seen that already. Correct, Delma?
That is correct. She's already a non-voting member.
Oh, okay, great. She sent a report saying that Operation Exodus was really good. I actually printed out her email and then left it at home, left it at work. There you go. That's a Freudian slip.
Sorry.
Left it at home. Hold on one second, I'll look it up and see what she says here.
Sure. Got it?
Yeah, she just says the Operation Exodus was December, January, and it went really well. The team at Fort Huachuca was very pleased with how easy the process was and how the team at the Tucson Airport, including the airlines and TSA, went above and beyond. I was hoping that she had...
Gotcha.
I was looking for something else. Oh, honor flight. So there will be an honor flight, but it's very restricted as to, you know, normally we would go out to the airport and hoo-ha and everything, but we can't do that. But just know there is another honor flight going out. That was the other message from her.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So item number 9, I'll go on to stand down. I do have some numbers for you. I sent out some emails to folks. I think we're sitting right now at about 40 biter tables. Just so you know, we're at about 152 volunteers for that 3-day, for the setup and everything prior to that. I think there's 82 volunteers on the day of the event. So that's kind of where we're sitting at now. The meals are all Texas Roadhouse and some sandwiches and stuff like that when we're doing the clothing sort. But that's where I'm with numbers right now. I'm actually full. I'm actually putting vendors out in the parking lot in pop-up tents right now in canopies. And looks like the weather next week is going to be something like 88 degrees or something in Tucson. And then I think 81 degrees on that Wednesday for the event. So it's probably going to be a pretty warm event is what we're looking at. So I'm not sure if anybody has any questions for me in reference to stand down. Anyone? Okay. We'll move on to, I'm not sure if item number 10, if we even have anything in reference to the Veterans Parade update. Might be a little soon for us. So we'll just move on from there. I'm sure that that's probably something we want to consider as soon as we get back, right? Or think about inviting her to that first meeting when we come back, right?
Well, hopefully we'll get somebody here before we go dark.
Okay. So I'll leave it on there for next month. Leave that on there. Four chaplains, you want to give us a... probably gave a brief, but go right ahead. Do you have anything for Fort Chat?
No, other than I just appreciate everybody coming out and supporting the event. I think it went really well. Next year's the 80th anniversary, and so we are looking to make it be a larger celebration, and so we will definitely be back to tables, chairs, restrooms, band. Chaplain Zink requested that he be included. He really wants to start sooner than later, trying to include, you know, get plans ready. So if anybody has any suggestions, that would be great. But we're looking to reach out to as many World War II veterans as possible to hopefully have them present to provide them an honor recognition at the event.
Thanks. And if I could back up again, Jennifer, in reference to the VA, do you know Are they going to be doing any public events? Are you going to be out doing any events in reference to this new CDC guidance in reference to masks?
Yeah, so we're starting to be able to do some of the outreach on the, particularly when they're outdoors, and we're continuing to look at the guidance as it evolves for indoor. Right now, we still have on the campus for healthcare facilities, you know, masking requirements and such, but we are starting to certainly look, and we're certainly looking forward to the future where we can do that. So Cliff Baser is the and Luke Johnson are the points of contact, and they certainly will continue to keep us updated as we can move forward with doing some more in-person and hosting on the campus. But I would expect in the near future. Knock on wood.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. All right, so we'll move on. Item number 12. Does anybody have a question? There's someone coming. Anyone? So item number 12 is back at you, Terry. It's the bylaws and this update that you sent. I don't know if Delma has that and wants to put that up to discuss changes you made in there in reference to the military lounge, right?
Yeah, that's really the only thing was I did a search for the military lounge. I know we were calling it the military liaison office, but since Jesse is referring it to it as the military lounge again at the airport, we're just going to move forward with calling it the military lounge. Everybody called it that, even though we were trying to change the name. So I just went through the bylaws and highlighted everywhere that I could find it and made that change. But I think we have to present it.
Now we need to vote on.
Well, guys, there's one thing. Hang on. Back up. This set of bylaws does not show any, at least that I saw, any of the changes we did in 2018. It doesn't even mention them.
The bylaws I have are the amended ones that we voted on in 2018.
That's not. This doesn't even list the amended 2018. That's what I'm saying.
Terry, I believe the ones that you sent was 2016, April 2016.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we do have amended ones from 2018.
Yeah.
That were approved, and so that does indicate military servicemen's lounge on there. So if you would like, I can send everyone a copy of the amended 2018. And then see what changes you want to make from that one.
Okay, my apologies. I thought I was working on 2018.
No problem. So move it to the next meeting, Dawn?
Yes, we can move it to the next meeting.
And then we have to discuss it three times before we can vote?
Two times.
Okay, very good.
But you know what, Terry, if you'd like, I did send you a copy of the amended in 2018. So just email me, or you can even call me, and we can go back and forth and talk about it. You know, so it can already be ready to submit to the committee twice before it's voted on.
Okay.
You know, like a final a draft and then the final one.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
All right, so we've tabled that for another one. So we'll go on to item number 13, consideration of membership application for the UAV. There was some discussion with the city. Delma, do you want to provide that guidance on what the city said in reference to we can't be there, and I understand we're just going to get reports from members. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, you are correct. That is what took place. It was asked to be placed back on this meeting, and maybe what you might want to check with the committee members, if someone wants to volunteer to be able to present reports to the committee, or if you want to delegate this to someone, Or if, or like I said, if someone wants to volunteer, it's up to the committee how you want to handle this.
I got you. So it's somebody that's a member up there that can share the report with us, right?
That is correct.
My organization is not.
If we have anybody out here now, then we can certainly bring them.
Sorry, my organization is not a member, but from the Marine Corps League, from the department, I get emails with that report, and I've sent the couple that I've received already for Delma to share out, but I think Bill is actually a member, and so it would be great to get it straight from that source rather than depending on somebody else to get it to me and get it to you guys.
And it isn't anything that needs
to...
The
VBA State Council is a member of that organization, and on occasions I do get the reports down from Randy.
And this
but I
isn't...
Think like Terry said, if Bill's a member, we should ask him, because I don't think he'd mind briefing it. I think that's why he wanted us to become a member, to get more involved. At least if he's briefing it, maybe we can be more involved. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. So as far as membership, that's not going to happen for us, but as far as pushing forward and Delma, do you want me to reach out to Bill during the month? Are you okay with that? Reference to him briefing, can I send him an email?
Right, you can go ahead and reach out to him, and when he does have information that he wants to present at one of the meetings, have him notify you, and then you notify me and let me know to place it on the agenda.
Okay.
Does that work for you?
Okay, not a problem. That's correct. Okay, appreciate that. Yep, thank you very much. It works for me. So now we're to our favorite part, item 14, a report of current events. Good of the order. Carol, do you want to go around with the roster and ask folks if they have anything for their organizations they want to mention?
I noticed an S.A. Is Steve McGurry there? So you are there.
He came in about 6:29.
That's okay. Good. Okay, that's where I had. Okay, gotta fix that. Okay, Steve, did you have anything?
No, ma'am. Okay.
Martin Belden?
Nothing.
Terry? Byron?
I have a couple of things. I'll make sure I send them to Delma.
Okay. Bruce?
What?
Bruce Hamilton? Did you want to share something? You're muted.
I have nothing.
Okay.
I have nothing.
Henry Johnson?
The only thing I have is one veteran foundation's having a fundraiser so they can have a service dog for every veteran, and I'll send that information to Delma.
Sorry, Henry, I already did.
Never mind then.
She shared it the other day. It's the 26th.
Well,
I forgot to mention that we're having a Marine Corps League hockey night March 19th. So if anybody's interested in going to see the Roadrunners on March 19th, tickets are $20 a piece. Send me a message.
Good.
Okay, James Lewis?
Go ahead, Carol.
I do not have anything, ma'am.
Melvin Morgan?
Yes, Carol. BBA Chapter 106 is having a Remembrance Day on the 26th of March. The flyer should be already out to people. And get a hold of me or J. secretary and let them know you're coming.
Okay. Cheryl Rundell doesn't have anything. Michael St. Ords?
No, I don't have anything.
That's it.
Good deal. Thank you, Carol. Good. So now we're on to the future agenda item. I don't know what we need to scratch or take off. We're going to keep the veteran there, correct? And we're going to keep the bylaws update on there. Does anyone know anything we need to add on before we go dark?
We didn't mention fundraising at all, or if we did, I missed it. But the letters were sent out to the businesses and veteran organizations to see about getting donations.
This is Martin. Does that mean I should start expecting checks?
Yes, we'll just keep talking against any check.
Let's hope so.
Yes. Oh. We can only hope. Yeah.
Bruce, right. This is
so,
Delma.
Do you have any other future agenda items? Delma?
Okay, so this is what I am showing for next month would be bylaws. I am assuming an update with a stand down as to how your event went, and the Veterans Parade, Military Lounge. And did you say you want the fundraising on that on the agenda as well? I see Martin is saying yes.
Want that on there?
Yeah.
Sure. And we're taking the four chaplains off, correct?
Yes, and we should probably take chaplains off now, Terry.
No, let's go ahead and leave it on, because I might have something to mention next month, but and the following month, and then we're going dark, so.
Right.
Is that good, Bruce?
What
yeah,
about
the do you want to keep the Unified Arizona on there? So I can at least talk to the members in reference to what decision we make with Bill. Bill would brief the UAV meetings with us. I'll keep that on there so I can at least keep that a reminder. I want to brief everybody that Bill will do that or somebody from the committee will do that. Is that good for everybody?
This is Mark.
Yes.
Can I make a suggestion? Make that a United Arizona Veterans update discussion item instead of consideration of membership.
Yeah, it should be an item. Go ahead and do that, and then I'll once we talk to Bill and we get an idea. When do you guys know these quarterly meetings that they hold, or do you know?
UAV is monthly.
Monthly. Okay. So we'll probably get some type of a brief out from whoever once a month. So yeah, we'll end up putting out on as an item. It may have some interesting stuff that we need to know about, things that we don't need to get our fingers into, but some things we might need to know about. So that's a good one. So if you guys don't have anything, I'm going to go ahead and move to adjourn.
What about the Exodus, Bruce? Is that something that's going to remain?
13.
Well, I put Military Lounge on there.
We were going to put it on there because I think Terry.
Yeah.
Yep. Leave it on there. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
And again, Terry, no problem. Terry, I'm going to reach out to you in reference to going over to the airport also.
Very good.
Okay. Take you to lunch. All right. So if you guys don't have anything, we're going to go ahead and adjourn. So thank you all for coming. You guys have a good evening, and I'll see you all hopefully in Stand Down.
Thank you, everyone.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.